Welcome to The Babblery, conversations where we explore the knowledge, opinions, passions, and obsessions of my guests. This is Suki Wessling, and today's interview was recorded for an article published in Growing Up in Santa Cruz, www.growingupsc.com. My interview with Spanish Nature Club leader Lisette Orozco typifies why I love this Moms Who Make a Difference series. It's sort of a weak premise, right? Because most women become moms at some point in their lives, and anyone who works in their community makes a difference. But I never know where these conversations will go and how my interviewees will surprise me. Lisette is so charming and so inspiring. She runs a business called Spanish Nature Club, where she takes kids out into nature and, well, talks to them in Spanish. It sounds pretty simple, but the thought behind how she talks to them gets at the roots of how children learn best. And Lisette herself was a surprise, from her background in economic justice to her accidental move to Santa Cruz. I hope you enjoy this conversation as much as I did.
So I was raised and born in Mexico City. I will call myself city girl, but my grandma is from a place in Mexico which is rural area. How do you guys call rural? Like county, country?
Yeah, rural works too.
Where it is just few cactus and very desertic area with snakes, rattlesnakes and scorpions. and as a little kid, I used to go every summer to my grandma and just play there with my cousins and my sister. So I think that's where my love for nature and just be free and exploring came from. I had so much fun. and then whatever, I grew up. I went to college in Mexico. I studied social and political science there. And as part of the program, you get the chance. I mean, I choose to go to another rural areas to help with literacy. How do you say that?
Literacy, yeah. You had it.
To kids, right? To older children. We went to communities and just help them and teach them how to read and how to do math and homework. And I'm talking about very, very, very poor communities, like without access to water or power or even blankets for the night. It's just, and there you have to survive with whatever it is available. And I learned so many skills there with these communities. And then, well, the children are always happy to have somebody from outside to come and play with them and give them some time. And whatever you offer them, they are just grateful and they are awesome. And I think that's what I love children too. And in these communities, there is no limit, or it's everybody's, it's multi-age groups. Like you get the 3 years old and the 12 years old all together playing around. So I was doing that, like that. And then whatever, I graduate, I travel, I I keep my life. And then I don't remember, I think 2006, I met someone in Mexico and I fell in love, and that person was living in Santa Cruz. And I look it up online. It was like, a Santa Cruz, what is that? It didn't show up. I remember it was just San Francisco and San Jose, but Santa Cruz wasn't in the map. I was like, I met this person surfing in Puerto Escondido, Oaxaca, and then I'm here.
I've actually been to Puerto Escondido. Nice. So you came here and you have some children, right?
Yes, my kids are native, Santa Cruz native. I have a 16 years old and a 13 years old. And when I came here, to be honest with you, I didn't speak English at all. Like, not even a single word, like nothing. When I got graduated in my college, you have to prove that you are able to read and talk in a second language, right? Mm-hmm. So by the time I choose Italian. I thought, well, Italian is easy. It's very close to Spanish. So I speak or write or understand Italian. Because of that, because I never thought I will need English in my life. I was just like, whatever, I don't want to learn English. It's hard, it's difficult. And then suddenly I was here. And the way I learned English was through immersion. I never took a class or lesson or nothing. I just learn it, listening, mm-hmm. and reading kids' books, and talking with people and telling them, sorry, I don't speak English, but I just learned how to say, how do you say this, and how do you say that, la la la, and people was telling me, and then suddenly I speak in English, so...
And it's that way with children, but even faster, right?
Exactly. So I really, really, really believe in immersion. I did it. I did it when I was 33, 34. And so
wow.
I think everybody can do it. And if you like it, if you are curious, if you keep your curiosity, and if you aren't shy, and if you don't block yourself like with any pretensions, you will learn one word today, one tomorrow, and then suddenly you know a few words, you put a sentence together, and then you go from there.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
So when did you start your business, Spanish Nature Club?
So, well, when I came here and I become mom, I was basically a stay-home mom. Suddenly, people from my daughter's preschool or here and there started to ask me, oh, I would love if my kids speak Spanish. Do you mind to watch my kid, and maybe he can play with your daughter, and I will pay you for doing that. So that's called childcare, right?
Yes.
I was like, sure, I can do that. when my first daughter was around 1 year old, friends, I started to take kids for childcare, right? Nannying. I've been doing that for so long. And then when my kids were like kindergarten age, I start to think about, I love kids to be outside. I love kids to be in nature, and we are surrounded for a magnificent outdoors. So I will love to do that. And I start to put it together and think about it. And but by the time I'm talking about like probably, how old is she now? She's 16. So 10 years ago, I remember trying to put it together, but kind of I didn't, and people were hesitant, like to uncomfortable. They were saying like, no, we prefer like indoor, like maybe if you get license for your household, for your house, like no, it's dangerous. It's like, yeah, well, it's okay. So then I just leave it. I just forget for a while about it, and I keep nannying and providing childcare one-on-one. And then the pandemic hit. Then it's suddenly time passed by, fly, and then we are 2019 or 2020? I lost track.
2020 is when it hit here, yeah.
Okay, so suddenly it's March. Everybody was the pandemic. Being together indoors was unsafe. And then I was an employee. I lost my job. You know everything, right?
About yeah. And that's funny because people were saying it's not safe to be outdoors before, and now they're saying it's not safe to be indoors.
Yeah. And then I was like, well, I don't know. I still need to pay the rent. And then I was like, well, I will start to do my childcare, but outdoors. And then I will offer Spanish. I don't know. Are you going to make it attractive? I don't know. And then I just put it together. Then suddenly I'm here. So actually the pandemic was the scenario that allows me to offer this. And people were desperate for childcare and the socialization between the kids. And I just find the way to against that adversity, and for my own children, and for my own health as well. Mm-hmm. I started with two families, with two kids, Sophia and Sage, I think, and. Here I am.
And now you have a business. So how big is the group that you lead in? Is it during the day? Is it for preschoolers, or do you have after school as well?
I have preschool, like year round. Yes, I have preschool groups, and I have after school group. Honestly, I can offer this for whoever is interested.
Uh-huh.
So I do teenagers group.
Great.
And even some moms are asking for it. Like, so some moms from these same students are like, well, what about you do it for adults? So we go to the forest and we talk in Spanish and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, yeah. Yeah, we can do that.
That works. So I noticed that you mentioned a couple things on your website that I wanted to ask about. You said your slow down philosophy. What is that?
Slow down philosophy is we try to enjoy the present, the here and the now. and walk slowly, trying to notice everything that is around, to try to fall in love again with the calm. When I say slow down philosophy, also I thinking of myself, like we are always running, rushing for everything, being late to everything. Well, what I offer in these 5 hours from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. is to the kids is, kids, no rush. We don't have to be anywhere right now, just here. And then we just go for explore with no rush. If you feel like having snack right now, we can do that. If you feel like going to the river right now, we can do that too. There is no rush. So that's what
That's a nice change for a lot of kids, because kids' lives are very scheduled these days.
Exactly. I don't want to be scheduled in those 5 hours. I like when the kids take their time to notice things, and we can spend like 20 minutes observing a banana slug and how long it takes to the banana slug to make it to the other side of the leaf, right? And we can just be there 20 minutes watching. That's what I meant about slow down.
And the other thing that you mentioned is child-led learning, which I think most people understand, and you pretty much just described that, but also emergent curriculum. How do you think about what you're going to teach the kids? Is that something you think about ahead of time, or do you just make it up as you go along?
Immersion is, I don't bring concepts at the, like, I don't tell them facts all the time. I let them ask questions, or I ask questions to them, and then they ask things about is the spider and it's the spider an insect? And I was like, what do you think? Oh, well, I don't know. And then I will say, well, let's look it up. And then next class I bring books about spiders, and then we learn about spiders. Or they will say, oh, look at this pine cone. And this is so small. What tree is for? And I will say, I don't know. What do you think? Look around. Is it a redwood? It's a sequoia? It's a pine crest? What is it? Well, I don't know. It came from this tree. And this tree is here, so maybe it's a redwood. And then next class, I bring up books about redwoods, and then we confirm our suspicions about if that pine cone belongs to that. That's emergent. So we go with kids' interest.
How is
in the moment?
So how is it different when you're with teenagers? What are teenagers interested in talking about?
Well, teenagers don't want to talk. With the teenagers group, I like when realize that they still having an inner child in them. And I like when they relax. And when they don't have to show off or they don't have to care about what their friends think, if they have, they looks like they don't have to worry about how do they look or I just want them to relax. I think our teenagers right now are a little bit overwhelmed, not just because of the pandemic, but I think because of the pandemic. So it's just like, I don't think their life is easy. And then there is another issue with social media. And I kind of want to, I wish they can rediscover nature and at the same time figure it out how they feel after when they are surrounded by nature and playing and climbing a tree, because they still want to climb trees. And I am open to talk of whatever they want to talk. And with them, I kind of guide the conversation too. So yes, I have teenagers, so
yeah.
It's a very hard stage.
It is.
They don't want to be little kids, but they are an adult. So it's kind of in the middle.
Yeah.
So, and I just know that our teenagers, at least in this area, are struggling. And I just want to offer an outlet. So, yes.
That sounds wonderful.
Thank you.
So, let me ask you, you started, you said, as an economics major in college, and you're somewhere that you never expected to be. How does that feel? Do you feel like your life took a sudden turn, or does it make sense to you that you've ended up caring for children and teaching?
Well, you know what? Last Monday, July 4th, was my birthday. I turned 46. And I'm feeling so grateful and so proud of myself, because I feel like I am planting a little seed or something, which is both either curiosity for a second language or the seed of just be able to enjoy nature as it is without pretending getting big things from it. I just was telling the other day to my group, I was like, I feel like this society is losing the capacity to enjoy the little things. The drops of the rain. Like, so we will do things like open our mouths and feel the raindrops in our tongue. And then the kids were saying things like, oh, that feels good. And then we start to talk about the flavor of the rain. And then some kids will say something, it tastes like vanilla. Oh no, it tastes like chocolate for me. Some kids will say, it's spicy. So if I can plant the seed of in these kids or these teenagers to notice that actually nature offers them some joy, and if they can stay with it through the rest of their lives, I feel like I did something good for the humanity. I feel like that. And same with language. Languages in general, I think, it's an amazing gift that we are able to communicate to each other. And it's in the beginning, in the first instance, I think it's a survival tool. Like, otherwise, we won't be able to communicate to each other. And being able to communicate in not only one, but two or three other languages opens our lives, our experience, our learning. It makes us more empathetic to other people's circumstances. So I'm fine with it. If I plant either the seed of curiosity for second languages or languages in general, or love for nature. So in my country, Mexico, our grandparents will tell us things like, your mission in life will be done once you plant a tree, write a book, and what else? I forget what else. Plant a tree, write a book, and I don't know, something else, maybe be happy. I don't know. Well, I didn't write the book yet, but I'm planting so many seeds. I'm fine with it. Then also, I want my kids to feel proud of me. I just want that too. I want them to be proud of Spanish. That is actually not only a tool, but it's cool. Like, nice.
Yeah.
So responding to your question, 20 years ago, when I was in college, when I was studying Italian, actually my goal by the time was to go to Italy and get a master's degree in history or something like that. That was my goal. and I was, by the time I was writing essays related to more political topics, issues. But my goal was to go to Italy, so didn't happen. The life just was throwing me to other direction.
That happens.
And it happens. And then suddenly I was traveling in Latin America and other countries and making research about education, about culture issues, working with kids. And then, then I'm here doing this.
And it's wonderful, and Santa Cruz is benefiting from that. Thank you for your work with children. It sounds like, I said, I do wish that you had been around teaching when my children were young. It sounds wonderful.
And I think kids like it. At the beginning, when a kid, as right now, I have kids that has been in Spanish Nature Club since the beginning, since the pandemic started. So let's say I have kids that by the time were 4 years old, and now they are 6 or 7, and either they come to the after school program or summer program. It's really rewarding to when I see them and they give me hugs and they call me Maestra Lisette and they say hola to me and they say a few words in Spanish. I tell parents, I'm not promising you that they will become fluent and fully bilingual just by coming to this group. What I'm offering is that they like it. They like the language. They feel curious about it. And who knows, maybe tomorrow when they are in high school, they will learn it faster, right? And they won't be struggling with Spanish and grammar and everything.
I love how you said that you're a true mother of teenagers. You said tomorrow when they're in high school, which is how it feels, isn't it?
Yeah, no.
We grow up so fast.
Really, really, really. My daughter is taking, she took Spanish 1, 2, 3, and then finally, well, she started with the Spanish 1, and then, of course, she jumped until Spanish 4. But then she says, Mom, kids struggle a lot learning learning a second language. And at some point, she says, thank you. Like, thank you. I didn't realize how important it is what you has been teaching me, like this Spanish, and where you were so insistent. And guys, let's read a Spanish book. Guys, let's listen to Spanish music. Like, by the time I was a little bit annoying to my own kids, like, you guys have to learn Spanish. Like, let's talk in Spanish. At home, only Spanish. And she finally told me, I think yesterday, because she got her result for her AP class, AP test from Santa Cruz High School. And she says, she was telling me the score of the other kids. And it's like, this friend didn't make it. This one, other, like, and she was like, Mom, it's hard. And thank you. So that's what I want. Maybe for these kids that are hanging out with me in the forest, for them will be more easy to navigate the acquisition. How you say acquisition?
Acquisition, yeah.
A second language.
Yeah.
Because the brain will be more prepared to it. More. Uh-huh.
Well, I hope so. And thank you so much. Thank you for talking with me for this interview. I really appreciate it.
Oh, no, thank you. It's my pleasure, my honor. I hope you get some interesting things to share.
I did many interesting things. Thank you so much.
You've been listening to The Babblery. Please visit www.babblery.com for links and information related to this podcast.